Channel 2 over. Channel 2 over.
Do you have the water hot and put in there or put in there cold?
And just heat it as hot as you want it. Just so it's mixed up. And you know, that's just pure beef broth.
Yeah. Well, you can't beat that kind. Kind was about the best you can beat.
Well, I appreciate you.
Wait now.
What about the cheapest thing? Water might be cheaper. Really, I can drink milk and I'm
different. I just had a notion, and I think I'm sure it's true, that Jim would be much better off out in the open.
Yes, he indicated that this morning. That's one thing he likes about.
And it would be cooked up in that water. Even if he had to take a little less pay, I don't think he makes too much money.
Well, he would be taking less pay. They don't pay anywhere near the minimum wage because they've got cattle.
Yeah.
That kind of exemption.
But then you wouldn't have.
For example, I get less than $1.20 an hour. $60 a week, but
thank you.
So he I think would be a reduction in terms of, I don't know how many days. Well, he works pretty constantly, doesn't he, Grimes?
He works 6 days a week long hours.
But he probably makes better money, and that's probably more important now, really.
Well, I think the most important thing is he could get out where he could see what they feed the horses and see how they work the horses a little bit, and just be out.
Can I help you with anything, mate?
Yeah, well.
I just typed a minute. Now, I don't understand your heart talk, so you all go ahead now. I'll tell Scott.
I'm afraid you'll do the talking, I'll do the listening.
You know what? We've been spending most every evening going around here looking for the calves. We'd miss some.
Yeah, we sure can.
And, you know, they'd be off in some far place and having a calf.
You have to keep...
Yeah, you have to watch.
Watching out for these calves?
Sure you do.
I think one of them, say, I think one cow went off and I went back to have a cookie this morning.
Oh, I think Tiki is the next. Yes, you have to watch them. And, you know, you want to know when the calves come.
Yeah.
And they've been hiding out.
Is it important note for registered purposes when they...
No, you just want to know if they're all right.
Yeah, I see.
You know, a lot of things can happen to them.
I see.
Just like, humans. All you want to know is that the calf is all right. And the cows are.
Can you tell when one is expected to be born?
Well,
easily, it seems to me it would be rather difficult. Cows are often big.
Well, there's lots of signs, you know, and you can.
So you can pretty well tell when.
No, we used to think we could, but we can't. We can tell when they start springing, but these cows that have calved a lot have had a lot of calves.
Yeah.
They're surprising. And. Now the cow or the calf this morning that I didn't think was anything anywhere ready at all.
Yeah.
We were watching this young calf heifer who got bred to, and she
sheep doesn't have to have themselves, would it imagine?
The calf will?
The heifer, having the calf.
Oh,
calves.
Oh, I see.
Because this is her
is
first.
Is she expected?
Oh,
soon
yes.
Uh-huh. And you know which one it is, of course.
Oh, yeah. We keep her out here in this side pasture. And so.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just putting it all on one plate. I'm just putting it all on one plate now.
Listen, you take food. You want more steak?
No, because I'm not allowed to.
That's not.
I don't know.
To do that.
This is my. This is it for me. And. It's so nice to have you. I thought maybe you'd be. I thought maybe she could raise you a little bit.
I'm not going to ask her to raise me. I'm getting all the money I need.
Oh, my. You could use more.
I had the manager.
Huh?
First, I had the manager write down some horses for us before they go in the stalls. And put them in special stalls, you know, each of us. So
yeah.
We keep up with the feeding.
Yeah. Are you feeding? Are you doing about the same thing you've been doing?
Yeah. I don't work at the training barn at all, except when there are people not there. Older horses.
I want you to get to where you work at the training barn.
Well, I don't know what I want. No.
I don't want you to take a chance on getting hurt, though.
What I really want to do is be able to plow fields and disc fields,
mm-hmm.
put out fertilizer, the sort of stuff that. I don't want to be in trouble at the moment, but it would be helpful later on, perhaps.
I didn't even watch that.
One another, Edna.
Well, we can hear it 6 minutes.
What are these stones for?
You can have one. I've got more than these.
What do you use them for? You got something to sharpen?
I got a little all night.
Oh. If you sharpen that knife, I'd like to test it. I'm interested in knives.
Well, I forgot to stop the steak. It's better when you don't stop it.
Yeah. You wouldn't be interested in the real knives I got. I think that's,
I'd just like to see
how
you sharpen, because I'm really... I know this knife.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, man. Talking about opening a bag of fertilizer. Ooh. Well, now this wood could stand a little sharpening, don't you reckon?
Yeah. A little bit.
It's been used.
Don't you carry a knife around with you?
Yeah. It's an old scout knife I've had, but I really don't know how to sharpen knives, and I'd like. I've been using stone for a while, then I decided that doesn't do a good job as Doc did. See, Doc was my idol. And one of the things I really envied was how he kept his knife. See, Doc kept a knife. Well, he'd pull out that knife, pick up a bag of feed, and he'd just point that knife
at
the bag of feed, and it would open magically.
Oh.
He wouldn't even have to touch the bag. That knife was so sharp.
Say that again.
Doc would open that bag of feed. Well, it's a fellow, that colored guy,
yeah.
Colt 45. He had a knife. It was a Barlow knife. It wasn't quite like this. It was a straight blade.
Yeah.
But he kept that thing so sharp
that
he didn't have to touch what he wanted to cut.
Yeah.
It would open.
Right.
It was a remarkable knife. So a lot of things I envy about Doc, and one is what he does to a knife. I should have found out from him just precisely how he goes about it, sharpening his knife. You got another blade on here I'd like to check. I can't get it out.
I don't know what's wrong with that. It's hard. It'll break your finger.
You must never open it.
Yeah, I've opened it. And I picked the end of something over there.
Hmm. Well, it probably won't be sharp. What meaning you know working on that?
What was that you were telling me about Doc?
Well, you got fast.
I have your chair.
No, it's not mine.
I don't know.
Mmm. I haven't had potatoes in a long time.
Oh. That
Well, I told you one
overtime.
One evening about one of the last days he worked, when he came in with his with a really obnoxious suit on.
Oh, that's
it. He done that twice. He did that twice.
I was.
And he reserved it for Sundays. And he said it was his church clothes, but he never went to church because he fed. Helped us feed way past church time.
Now what was?
But
I'm way behind you.
Well, I really lose the picture of Doc. But we had a very bright blue suit on one Sunday morning, coming to work, and a tie, which looked like it was hand-painted. It was real gaudy. It was a light green with some pink on the tie, big tie, and then kind of pure white shirt.
No.
And a really black shoe. You have to realize how this guy dresses usually. The craziest overalls he must not have washed for weeks, you see. And he ties his overalls there with the ropes at the bottom to keep the dirt out. And these old shoes with the soles flopped off of them. So, you know, it's pretty shocking. And this old hat, beat-up hat, hunter's hat, they must have had for a long, long time. That's how he usually dresses, you know.
Yeah.
So when he comes like he does on occasion, he did on Sunday, with this bright blue suit on, pure white shirt, very gaudy tie, shiny pointed shoes, and fancy, and these socks, you know, very thin, fancy socks, dress socks, and he had a scarf on, and a tie, and a very bright, I think it was a light green or pink scarf, in addition, tied around his neck, over the tie.
Over the tie.
And he's got this fancy hat on, this real nice dress hat on. And that's what he would do occasionally on Sunday.
And he said that was his Sunday clothes.
His church clothes.
Yeah.
But he never went to church on those Sundays. I know it. He went home to drink. And I think he came after some drinks. But he would have his mouth harp on.
Oh, his
on
mouth?
Sunday occasionally. And no one else appreciated how he could play that mouth harp, and they wouldn't encourage it at all. And Henry couldn't stand it, the manager, his bringing that mouth harp out. And Doc would take Henry's cussing as just a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Now, I scrutinized Henry pretty much, and I just couldn't take it. I don't see how you could possibly take Henry's arguing, his criticizing Doc, as a joke. Things he would say, no, I couldn't see it as a joke. I tried to put myself in Doc's shoes. Could I possibly accept that in a humorous vein? I couldn't. But Doc did. But
oh,
Doc
did.
Would put up his mouth harp if Henry couldn't take it, so Doc would put it up. But he would make some jokes about it. Henry couldn't take this way he would dress up.
Oh, really?
In a dandy way. But
I didn't hear from him.
But you know, when the manager left, when Henry left, Henry, Doc left too. Those two, I don't know how they stuck together, why they're sticking together. But it appears to me that they're. Well, one of the boys on the farm says that Henry, the manager, just wants someone who can't read and write.
Oh.
So he won't be bothered by anyone that's too smart. But of course, Doc is smarter than most of us in a lot of ways. But there, I hear on the farm that people saying, coming in one day and then another day, and they'll say they just saw Doc and Henry together in their truck.
Oh,
so
really?
Doc and Henry around doing something. Just stick together. And a lot of the people over there put it rather straight, are nigger haters.
Are nigger haters.
Nigger haters.
Oh,
and
really?
So they're glad Doc is gone.
Oh, really?
And nigger haters. And Henry's a nigger lover.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. And he nigger lovers, we can stand to have him fired. We don't need to have him around. Anything that goes wrong with the fence, those damn niggers have driven into the fence again.
Oh. Well, now you don't have many nigglers now, do you?
We had a little boy who worked with us. And he played around a little bit. But since I worked with him and this other kid, blonde kid I brought over here one day, I saw to it. I corrected him. I told him that when the manager sees you jumping up and down the back of the trailer, he's not going to like it. So But I got along with him. I liked him a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But this little black boy, one time, kicked one of the coats. Just kicked him. That's what I hear. Kicked him in the stomach.
Oh.
That is one of the mildest things that go on at the farm. I've seen the very person who's responsible for firing that little black boy because he kicked a horse do much worse things to a horse.
Such as?
Well, I've seen him slug a horse. I've seen him kick it.
Oh, really?
I've seen him throw things at those coats and fillies. And this little colored boy simply was put to the test one morning when somebody else was looking. He just kicked him. That's the first time. Just kicked him under the stomach. And some of those coats are pretty high. And that little color boy was small.
Yeah.
And I know he couldn't have done much of that coat.
Uh-huh.
But that nigger hater, one of the nigger haters, that was enough.
Yeah.
And so that boy is off the farm. And he'll come back once every several weeks. He'll sneak into the farm and he'll get around Sandy and me.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell he wants work. His mother needs the money.
Uh-huh.
He had quite a few kids in that family.
But they can't hire him because
nigger haters. A nigger hater, unfortunately, is someone that Ms. Davis has brought up. He's a boy that Ms. Davis has given a job to for many years and has kind of looked after him.
And he's a nigger hater.
And the manager is someone who, anything goes wrong on that farm, it must have been a nigger.
Hmm.
So I know that I won't be working with many niggers on that farm. And another thing I know I won't be working with, I won't even see around the farm very much. That is a woman.
Oh really? They used to have women out there all the time.
Well, some of the women they hire apparently laid on the couch and drank most of the time, according to what I hear. But that may be just another excuse for keeping them where they belong, in the kitchen. You see, the manager and most of the people over there, they wouldn't hear to anything that's said today about giving women roles outside the kitchen.
Oh.
A woman pick up a pitchfork, pick up a shovel, and she's getting in the man's work. Can't have that. Also, it's very distracting. So they're not out on the farm, huh?
But you know, when Bill was over there, guy, he was married, and his wife groomed.
Well, now, we do have one woman over there, it's a concession, right? And I think the reason she's allowed over the farm is she can ride bulls. She rides bulls on rodeos. She knows how to handle an animal.
Oh.
And this one. Oh, no, not a rough looking, kind of dainty looking girl. I guess she's in her 20s, mid 20s, or late 20s. Rides bulls in rodeos. And people kind of respect her for that. Say, okay, this is an exceptional woman. She can clean out stalls and muck and do anything we can do.
And does.
She's married. Yeah.
But her husband doesn't work there.
What's that?
Who? Her husband doesn't work there.
Yeah, her husband works, and that's the reason she works.
Yeah.
I imagine, too, that her husband around there.
Bill's wife worked there.
Yeah, and you know, Ms. Davis said that she got more work out of Bill after they separated.
Hmm. Well, now, also here, the Doc was a source of much of my information. Sorry he's gone. I don't hear too much these days about what's going on, the reasons behind various things. But Doc told me that one reason. See, I let Doc know that I want some women around that farm, so I got him down, got him to sit down with me one time. Just really tell me why there are no women around here, Doc. he told me, one of the reasons was, I told you, they drink. They lay on the couch and drink. They really wouldn't work. But another reason is that their men folks would come over. And the men folks don't necessarily work on that farm. In fact, most of them don't. I'm talking about a single woman now.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd come over on the farm and take their women off the job, or come in and want to run things. And so that was one of the reasons that no more women were coming around there. The men folks would come hang around.
Yeah.
That may be true, if not maybe no reason.
Women are better groomers, most of the stable people will tell you, than men, because they
yeah.
like to, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they'll care for.
We need some groomers very badly. Those horses are in terrible shape.
Oh, really?
And if you're a boarder and you took one look at the mares we have out there, and you wanted to board a mare, you know, see
really?
The skin, I don't know what you call it, but the white specks all over the skin. Some looks like skin disease on a lot of them. They just need brushing very, very badly. Their manes and tails are not pulled at all, so rarely. The feet are trimmed too rare, maybe once a month.
Hmm.
That's pretty bad, because some of their feet are in terrible shape. When you look at them after that once a month, trimming. No, something's got to be done. I just hope Ms. Davis gets back pretty soon.
She's
been away on essentially a month, on Kentucky trips and on Miami trips. And the farm is, people are not doing a thing.
I'd hate to be there and she's not there.
Oh, I'm telling you, I don't know. I sat in my car for an hour this morning before anyone came. Work starts at 7. It's supposed to start at 7. I sat in my car for an hour. 8 o'clock, people showed up to work. I tell myself, I say, well, now listen, as long as you're doing what's right, don't worry, don't let it bother you. And I talked to Jim. I just had to have someone talk. Jim came.
Yeah.
He was there before. You know, he worked on the farm. He came after about half an hour. I was sitting in my car. So he kept me company until others came. And I told him that I just don't know why it bothers me. As long as I do my job, why would it bother me if those around me don't do theirs? I just wanted to tell me why. Why do I feel bothered by it?
Yeah.
So I'll be happy when she comes back.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be painful, Faye.
Yeah.
In fact, most of those people now are going to be seen working. And they're going to, because Ms. Davis is someone who goes around in her station
does.
Wagon. When she's not sick, she'll go around this. Stays on her feet. She'll pick up a pitchfork. She'll nail, doing nailing of feed bins or anything.
Now that'd be hard on you. When my boss leaves. Ooh.
Now Doc and Henry kept telling me, Mark, you know you're going to really have it tough when we leave, because that lady's going to make you work, and she sits, you know, doesn't do much of the work herself, instead observes it, sees it as done, she looks at it. She's going to put you to more work than you can possibly do. And they, you know, tell me about the 40 stall barn that's going and laugh at that. Ms. Davis wants up any right quickly now, a 40 stall barn. So they warned me. But I tell you, we haven't done as much work as when they were here. When they left, things are less well organized than when they were here. And they were kind of complaints that it wasn't organized at all. And they were here. Now it's not that well organized. So it'd be good when she's here.
Don't give me a hard time. All those costly animals.
Well, now that's what Henry said. He said he's going to retire and he's going to get himself cows. He's not going to fiddle horses anymore.
They're not just playing horses. They're so costly. Oh, high priced animals, aren't they?
They certainly are. And I tell you, I don't see what peace of mind those horses can give them. And yet they'll talk about it. They have a sign up. This is you enter Sunshine Farm. Goes, I don't remember just the way it goes, something like that. There's nothing like the inside of a horse, the outside of a horse to calm the spirit of a man, the inside of a man. Now I can just see Ms. Davis being calmed, peace of mind, looking at those expensive horses and worrying what they're going to get at the sales. You notice there's no peace of mind that woman gets from those expensive horses and worrying about them. It's a business, I'm afraid. It's like worrying over stock, I guess, if you have a lot of stock. Yeah. And watching the stock exchange every day. Yeah? Uh-huh. And you told me that's what it was going to be like. And that's what it is, another world.
That's another world. Yeah. But you figured Doc was one of your best friends.
He was. He really was. He said I was the only one who looked through his skin.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about it since then, and the more more things I hear attributed to the niggers, you know, the way people talk about the niggers, must be a case that I certainly never. I never even thought about him. I talked about him in terms of his color. Well, I thought there was any reason at all for not working with him, learning from him. And I told him that the day before he left that I wanted him to stay on, and that, well, I was assuming he would stay on. And because he needs to teach me how to handle a chainsaw. He was one of the first men in that county to handle chainsaws when he first came in. He was he was in lumber. He did quite a bit of the lumbering in the area. And he told me all kinds of stories about what happened to you if you don't know how to handle a chainsaw. And they were frightening. I mean, the things he told me, I go home now and I think about they crop up in the night. Some story he told me about what happened to you with a chainsaw.
Well, you mean dangerous things?
Yeah, unless you know how to handle a chainsaw, you can be cut in half, and he would tell me stories about what happened to you.
Well, I think a chainsaw would be as safe as you could get.
Mm-mm. No. No way. Not if you're handling... Well, if you're doing light work on occasion, but if you get to doing... swinging chainsaws around in order to topple trees down, and then and you've got people coming up behind you wanting to put the trees on the tractor and haul them away, you've got a high pressure job. You've got a bit of work to do that you're pressed to do in a hurry, and you're handling big pieces of wood, so it's easy to become careless and handle something heavy like that.
Well, he had done that.
Yeah. We know it all about lumber.
Well, that brings out a little bit more about
him. Yeah, I always have to remember that after all, he wasn't so young, and he'd done a lot of things.
Well, he was about 70, He is about 70. Now, he and Henry hit it off, I don't know. Don't know. They're a very peculiar sort of combination.
Henry couldn't stand that mahogany.
No.
And yet when you see Henry, you see Doc.
I don't know. I don't think the most experienced psychologist or sociologist could understand that. they would say it's not possible for the two to be together. And I'd say, look for yourself. There they are in the same truck. Yelling at each other.
Well, I suppose they have some sort of job somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Doc needs a job. He still has, I think, at least one kid to support him. He's got land and a house, and I think a woman.
Maybe the woman supports him. Have to support him.
No,
right,
I believe we could even close that door.
Well, Mark has been, I ain't needed to one.
My goodness, you shouldn't have fixed such a big meal. You could save some of this stuff for yourself. Use up your steak on me.
On you?
Yeah. And just give me a hamburger. If you're going to give me anything.
Well, we've been enjoying.
Is that the same old cow hat?
Now, don't criticize that hat. No, it's no good. It doesn't look any good. This is an old plastic hat, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to keep the rain off of you.
The other boys on the farm, you know, have these expensive ranch house hats that they paid $30 or more.
Oh, that's
expensive things. Yeah, you go to the ranch house, and you'll be spending nothing under there. I took a look at the hats. Nothing under, I think there's a little boy's hat for about $12 or $15. $15 somewhere around there. And the others have these very expensive hats. Their taste, I'm just surprised how these rodeo, what expensive taste these rodeo people have.
Oh.
The boots, $50 for a pair of boots.
Yeah.
Wouldn't think about it. Oh, I got several at home. You know, they get wet up and on another $40, $50 pair. Oh, my goodness. And these fancy shirts. Of course, the jeans, but.
Yeah.
But
well, even the jeans can be right costly.
Yeah, maybe so.
But they love these fancy hats. Expensive hats.
And they talk about how to proper care to take of, like steaming a hat. You ever heard of steaming a hat?
Sure.
Well, that's what. I hadn't heard about it. Telling this guy to steam his hat. Maybe. And I come out of that old hat. That old straw hat came to pieces. I used to wear out here.
Oh, it came to pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, it did.
And they knew I wasn't a serious horseman at all.
You weren't genuine.
No way. An old plastic hat like that. I spent $3 for.
I got one out there in the trailer.
Yeah.
I wear it on occasion.
What material is it? Yeah.
Well, I tell you, it's an imitation felt hat.
It sounds like me.
I spent $3 or $4 for it. I bought it at the ranch.
Did you?
I didn't go to the expensive.
Yeah. I'm surprised you could find that at that place.
Yeah.
That's right. You do have that hat.
Yeah. I bought that hat to wear to Bill Sneed's cattle sales. And it hurts my head.
Well, you can wear it, well, I guess, to the sales. That don't come too often.
Was that a good hat, correct?
That help?
I just wouldn't say anything to Mr. Weaver. He
no.
Just cuts it shorter and shorter.
Shorter and shorter.
He's going to scalp you one day.
Well, you know why I must cut it shorter and shorter? He wants to do something. No, you keep him like telling his stories, you know.
Yeah.
He keeps himself.
So as long as he can talk, has something to say, he's going to keep cutting.
That's right.
You're not going to have any hair the longer you spend with him on each session. You get balder and balder.
He wants to keep it even, you know. And I keep it even on time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good to see that wagon coming up. I knew who was here, right? I really was happy.
Well, was anything going on this morning for Jim to see? Well, I guess you was just a regular saying.
Yeah. And Sunday's a pretty easy day. There's no fencing, no special work. It's work that's done, even attempted.
But you got to see, he helped to feed the horse.
Mm-hmm. And I got him to help me clean out some stalls. Mm-hmm. And the boy that works there, and I think a little born boy as well as an older person, liked him. I think they liked him. I know the blonde boy indicated that, and I think the other one, but they seem to get along very well.
Now, you know that's a
so if there's an opening, I'll...
That is a curious thing about Jim. I've seen him out with all sorts of people, and they all like him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, down there where he works, Suzanne says the boss likes him, and his boss is a heel. Well, that's a help, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a help. I guess sometimes you have to be working with those you wouldn't go out to make friends with just to make friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he don't go out of his way as far as I've ever heard.
No.
And doesn't talk very much.
No. In fact, I had to get him to pick up a pitchfork. I mean, he wouldn't do much at all. But you know, I guess he... Well, I tell you what it must be. Everyone there shoots their mouth off. They're constantly talking big.
Oh.
And it does them good. I think they just like to see someone who's not... doesn't feel the need to boast. And Jim impressed them as that sort of person. For example, Jim didn't come in and say, "Well, let me tell you now what I do with my coat. Here's what I do with my coat. Why don't you all do this?" Jim doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then boast about his own background or anything like that. That may be one reason.
But he indicated to you he'd like to be at work outside.
Yes, outside, in an indirect way, namely, "Oh, wow, feels good to be out here in the country instead of in the city."
Well,
I think he would enjoy it.
I tell you the truth, he's one of the greats. Everything I think turns out a different way. I can't call the play, anticipate anything. I'm always wrong. If anybody had told me that Jim could be working on his lungs, by a crummy place in Jackson, and liking it apparently, I don't know whether they like it or not. They like him.
6 days a week.
How long has he been working there? Over a month?
Oh, since fall, since September.
Over a month, my eye, yeah. He's been working all the time.
And that's...
Does he go to school?
No.
So that's about it.
That's
that
all
consumes most of his time.
Most of it. It consumes all of it.
All of it.
He
has He
needs another place.
He has Sundays off.
Well.
And that's all.
I will certainly keep my ears open and even ask around, see if they could use some other help. Because Ms. Davis, I think, will be fed up with what's been going on with some of the people there now.
Well, sir, I'll tell you, whenever I start to think I'm pretty smart, I just have to swallow my words. Because it turns out completely different. I don't start thinking that very often, but oh Lord,
there are an awful lot of smart people who just don't let other people know about it. I'm talking about Cookie, I think, primarily. I mean, Cookie could do marvelous things for that farm, for any farm around here, Yet he just wouldn't get along at all because he doesn't talk big. Didn't want to show up anybody. Just a completely different personality.
Your
I don't know why.
Thought that same thing. You see, Cookie knows all up and down the line. He can handle the animals. He can handle the fences, the grass.
You give him that manager position over on that farm, and that farm will be a prized place to look at.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to have him being manager over that farm. I just love it. And because then the way he got his attitude, others would tend to shut up.
Yeah.
They'd shut up right away. And it would be really a new place entirely.
Yes, sir.
And you saw Frank. You've been talking to Frank a little bit.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned to me when we were coming in here that he's in trouble. And I saw Frank at the Crystal Hamburger Place in Gainesville one night. And I see him, I stop over at the Shell service station. He works up on the hill there. And I talk with him there. And then I haven't seen Cookie in the last couple of weeks, but in the last month I talked to Cookie. And Cookie would leave, Frank would come in.
Good to sick, you know.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I went by a couple weeks ago and I didn't see him there. I left a note. Can't read. So it dawned upon me. But, who is this person littering my place? But I hope to see him soon. But anyway, he would leave after I talked with him a while. Then Frank, his son, would come in and talk with me. And I learned that Frank's got some troubles. And I hesitate to go to Cookie now. Because Frank will tell me certain things. And say, now don't tell Father this. Don't tell Dad this. And I'll go to Dad. I'll go to Cookie. And then Cookie has, for me, a very uneasy way. I don't like it. It makes me very uncomfortable asking me questions. Like what would you do with somebody like Frank? Just what would you do? And what I don't know. He just keeps asking me these questions, and I must seem the most stupid critter he's ever seen, because I just don't know how to answer in any coherent way.
I tell him I'd go jump in the river. I couldn't face it.
I like Frank. I understand what Frank does, but I don't know what you have in mind as one of the latest incidents. But I guess one of the serious ones is he lost some money. Clothing.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. I just heard Cookie was just saying that he just kept him busy, you know, trying to keep Frank out of trouble. That was about it.
Oh, well, I don't know what I should be telling you.
Well,
so that's not.
Well, I'd
like to know what it is that's eating on Franklin, or what.
Well, we'd like to help him if we could.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way you can, I don't think. Frank is drinking quite a bit now.
Yeah.
And one of the latest things that happened to him that was particularly unfortunate is that one of his nights when she was completely drunk, he passed out, and several of his friends, he lost some money, lost his billfold, and some of his clothing, his expensive coat. One of his companions, drunk companions, took it. Now, Frank doesn't care for this at all, of course. Until Frank was going to get even.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought he could get even by talking to his girl. But his girl might have been sober enough to see what was going on in the giving. But it's exactly what happened. But now he found out that his girl is going with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank tells me he's going to get that money. He's going to go get that money. And I have to tell Frank to cool it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of scared of what Frank can do to get that money.
Well, he's hot-headed. If he gets started out.
He's real hot-headed. He's real hot-headed. And his dad's not supposed to know this. This is they're going without his dad knowing about it. What has happened to him?
But that's
the problem for me, is because if I go to Cookie now, and I wanted to go to Cookie this evening, see if he was over there, for that, and that kind of bothered me. Now, how could I handle this? Because Cookie's going to ask me, have you seen Frank lately? I'm worried about that boy. What has he told you? You know, and I'm certainly not going to tell Cookie.
Well, that boy was, you know, it was the biggest surprise to me that he just sort of got out of hand, because he was just right with his daddy, and and Cookie tried to show him. He taught him all of his own craft, how to take care of it. And it was, they were just two and two.
Yeah.
Well, you know why he's why he has new cars, is he tear up the ones that Cookie would give him.
Well, this is, we know all this.
You know, all that.
He just wrecked one after
the other. Yeah. So I don't think there's anything new for Frank.
No.
Do you get any light on why he wants to wreck it?
Well, he told me that he's past that. He's not. He doesn't get kicks out of driving real fast now and drinking. That if he wants to race, he'll do that specifically, and he'll get someplace at a drag strip, piece of highway that's not so busy. So he said he would. Taught himself a lesson by getting into trouble in the past with drinking and driving. But he's in other troubles now, partly because of the drinking.
It's awful, isn't it? They had such a nice thing of it out here, you know, come out and have you saw those family picnics.
Yeah, I was over there. I went over there. You suggested you were with somebody over here, and you said, Mark, why don't you go with us? So I went over there, and that was the biggest picnic. They had all their family there.
Yeah.
No. And I had more fun with those children, too.
And aren't they lovely children?
Beautiful children.
Beautiful children.
Really? One of them, the oldest daughter, is very quiet. And she apparently doesn't associate with the other children very much.
But those youngsters, I guess it's pretty as
they are. The younger children are
very nice.
We haven't seen them over there as a family for a long time.
Well, you know why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They must be pretty gloomy, you know. They're saying things, I don't guess. I'd be.
Cookie wants that just as a place to get away from them.
And that's really not what it's for.
Yeah.
It's all the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you feel sort of helpless that you saw like Frank. You feel like somewhere you might be something that you could do.
Well, how's your health? You're thriving on that open fresh air?
Yes, sir. Anytime I can get fresh air, I'll thrive, I reckon.
Yeah. That's 40, won't it?
I won't that. Well, I hope it won't spoil me, because I hope I won't have to put up with too much of the town, too much of suburbia in the future.
I'd rather do what you're doing than what I'm doing.
I can't see how you go to the office every day. You don't go, I guess, every day, or do you? What?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I spend a good part of my time.
Well, he doesn't spend 8 hours a day.
But you go into town every day, do you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how you do it. Why are you?
Well, you see, I don't work full time at the office. Part of my work's out here. And, but I'm involved in it all the time, so.
Why don't you say the hell of that town, my job? No, you couldn't. That just come to me. That you can't keep this and say the hell with that.
That's right.
You have to have both, don't you? Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, if I get rid of this, you see. If I get rid of them, I'll have to get rid of them.
Now, see, that's really got you tired, hasn't it?
That's terrible. If you have to live in such different short ways and different.
What I'd like to do, I've had my turn out here. I'd like to turn it over to somebody else for a while, and I'd help them. I'd be glad to help them. You know, just for a little toll out here, live out the corner somewhere.
Well, now, as I mentioned several weeks ago, Cookie would like to be considered as a person for whom you work. You work for him.
Well, that, you see, that has been constantly in front of me, but he never settles down enough to he couldn't to get through a calving season.
Oh, really?
You
couldn't?
No.
I see. I don't.
You gotta watch your steady. Yeah, I watch your calves every day.
No.
And he wouldn't, you don't think, be able to, wouldn't do that sort of thing.
He can't even see a crop through the mark.
He can't see what?
He couldn't see a fat in a crop.
He can't see a
crop.
You know, I'm going to have to get to know him better. I just didn't realize that he would not be that dependable.
Well,
he would,
it's just, I don't know just what
careless.
You call it, but... You might call it just his time.
Yeah.
But, you see, it ties me down. I never leave it. Every time you come up here, I'm here. Or in the office.
So if Cookie does do a lot of work around here, you have to kind of look after him.
Yes.
You'd be doing about as much work as you do now.
Right. And if he does, he won't finish it.
We never have known him to finish anything.
Is that right? I didn't know this was Cookie.
Well, he'll have a catastrophe in the family or something.
Well, I know that.
He goes from one. Where do you go?
I thought he'd finish a field he would plow or keep up the tractor.
He thrives on catastrophes.
He goes from one disaster to another.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, that gives me some optimism then. It will survive. Whatever he tells me about on his face. I just look up on his business.
But he still knows all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Then you don't think he would have a, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe a position of responsibility, a kind of a manager position he could be overlooked. See that other people do because he wouldn't do it well.
No, that's not his.
Yeah,
I've never seen him be steady for a very long time.
But he knows these things.
Well, one near catastrophe I didn't want to see occur, and I went over there one Sunday just to be sure it didn't occur. I went over there and took a hard look around because I wanted to see those two horses over there. He was talking about selling them. He needed $1,000 or more before the end of December. Or he's going to have to sell those horses. And he got me work. I could hardly believe he would sell those. But I came on a special trip just to see they're there. And they were there. He wasn't there, but they were there.
Mm-hmm.
I loved them. Just to see that they're there.
Aren't they beautiful?
Mm-hmm. I like them. I like them better than I do those fancy thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
A different kind of horse on a gear.
Yeah, the other horse we were raised with, you see, were horses. You ride them.
Mm-hmm. What kind are they? What do you call them?
He calls them part Belgian. He calls them Belgian workhorses.
Well, there are. There's a Belgian breed.
I don't think. Yes. Uh-huh. I don't. These are cross breeds. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They've got those big feet.
Mm-hmm. What do you do to a horse to make them like you. I like them right out with it. I'm having problems recently with my friends. I'm not keeping good company. I don't know how to socialize with the horses too well. This morning, I they're scratching their noses. Do they like that? They seem to.
They like to be scratched right behind the ear.
Oh, really? Behind the ear?
Just sort of
we'll try
behind the ear. Mm-hmm.
But what is it when a horse turns up its count. Under what conditions?
Like
yeah.
This?
Yeah. What conditions does he do that? What makes him do that, you reckon?
When Missy does that, it's because she's she needs a little molasses or something. It's because she has a little indigestion when she does that. And
Now, you see it's on something like that, cooking you a sign on it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Cookie could tell me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he could pick that up and just talk to it. Mm-hmm. Tell you one thing after another.
Well, I'll ask him. I'll ask him.
He can give you one example right after the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everyone else think.
It might not all be right, but he'd give them to
me. Yeah. Well, I don't care about the truth or falsity. I just want the story. Ms. Davis, owner of that farm, has a daughter that has, as they was determined, undesirable people over there. She calls them hippies, coming over with their drugs, their pot, and they want to stay over overnight with the daughter, particularly past that she's out of town so often. And one night, two boys who work on the farm spent the night with that. Ms. Davis' daughter. Two good reasons for that, and I can understand it thoroughly. She's a good looking girl, and secondly, they're night watching. And Melinda is supposedly to help a little bit, night watching. Well, these two boys came back the next morning and told these beautiful stories that they had over in bed with a girl.
Wow.
And it was good. I enjoyed the stories thoroughly. The manager, unfortunately, the guy who's acting as manager now, a young person, is listening, and he let Jim on it, and Jim is Ms. Davis's guardian. Like, Jim could take a gun, stay overnight at Ms. Davis, and shoot at the hippies who come around. Jim is a security, and Jim has background in security in the Army, so that's his thing, is guns. If he can't get a nigger or a hippie, he'll get a dog. He'll get something. So, Alan told Jim, told his boys. Jim came to me. Mark, I hear that two boys are spending some nights with Melinda. Were you over there when they were talking about that? Were you over at the barn when they were talking about that this morning? Yeah. Yeah, I've heard some stories. I found real interesting. I enjoyed them thoroughly, and he was so mad and upset because he's the one who reports to Mrs. Davis all the goings on, and Melinda's up to, and I can't see it. I don't care at all whether what the boys. You know, whether the truth or falsity or the right or wrongness of it, they do anything they want to. They're just, the things they had to say were just so, he said it in such a funny way.
Oh, they reported on it.
Oh, man.
They weren't listening to it. Huh?
It was thoroughly enjoyable. And yet, it bothers people. They. Well, I guess if I had morals, I too would be.
In Melinda with your daughter.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So I don't care whether Cookie. I don't. I'm not concerned about the. A cookie's telling me something accurate or inaccurate or what.
As long as it sounds
good. Yeah. Oh,
if you can tell me that, any sort of thing about catastrophe coming up in his family, and I'll believe him. I'll go right along with him. And I'll be troubled about it. I'll tell him I'll go home and ponder over. I'll come back with a solution.
Well, you know, Cookie, he says all these things he's going to do out here. He's going to do, and oh, we're going to just do this. And of course, we know for a long time that he's not going to ever get around to it. And when he feels, and then every once in a while he feels this, we have to sort of put him in a not a doghouse, but we just let him ride it out.
Mm.
And then he makes it up. He comes in here with these great excuses.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to know just what sort of excuse he's going to come in with this weekend. And he's been sick.
been in the hospital. Been, well, I don't know what.
Well, you know, there's one remarkable philosopher that no one reads today who's in the analytic philosophy, Alfred North Whitehead, and he says something that I've thought about and have seen by, exemplified by my experiences over and over. He says something real startling that for me at that time, for most of the professors I was with, Whitehead said in one of his books that it's more important that a statement be interesting than that it be true.
Is that right?
Truth or falsity is of secondary importance.
Have you got a book with that in it?
It's stated in a number of ways and several of his books. Yeah. Modes of Thought or Process in Reality or Religion in the Making. One of his books. And it's baffling to me. But I will suspend judgment. I don't give a damn whether it's accurate or inaccurate. In fact, I'll feel very, very uneasy if you tell me, don't you think that's true?
Oh, that's a terrible thing.
I feel
thing.
Very, very
me
uneasy
too.
For that.
Yeah.
And I'll say yeah. I'll say oh, yeah, yeah. Anything, just to hear more.
Yeah.
And Cookie is someone that. I just find it baffling, but in that respect that I could get so much out of, and yet I don't give a damn whether it's...
Doesn't make a bit of difference.
Whether it's right, wrong, accurate, inaccurate. Anyway. But, the guy, you've been in that a long time. I don't...
No,
I guess
no,
it, that
no.
Does it cease to baffle you? Have you that you can be absorbed in... people's stories and yet not worry about whether they're lies or whether they're accurate. They're not any worries for you.
I don't know about that. The way I see it, Nick, I guess it's the second day he's out there, he picked up that thesis inquiry that he pursued all fall. You had me talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked it up from Cookie. Cookie knows all these things about horses, but he don't take care of his horses. And what he did was, he took the idea of the countryside. That the countryside is like that. They know all these things, and they talk all these things, but their practice is somewhat different. And he lived with that all fall and what it did. Now, and here again, you get, now this is something that I work out, Mark. Maybe I picked it up from somebody. But it's, in my estimation, it's Emersonian. The thesis just has to be fruitful. Whoso will be a man must be a nonconformist. You're not interested in the truth of it. You want that to carry it into the experience in order to see the experience.
Yeah.
And that carried Nick, it's a beautiful thing. And he came back and reported on it. I've got 2 or 3 hours of his report on tape. And he came back. He couldn't wait to get back down here one Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That was when Barbara was here. Now that's, that's kind of...
Yeah.
But not, yeah.
I don't. Well, you see, you'd express it in your terms, and my experience would go just a little bit different. You see, and I've never read.